Welcome to the American Mineralogist podcast of November 2006. I am Rachel Russell, the managing editor. Our November-December issue of MN leads off with a presidential address paper by MSA past president Robert Hazen, who is my guest today. Bob is a scientist at the Carnegie Institution in Washington, D.C., and author of many science books, most recently Genesis, about the ancient transition from geology to biology and the origin of life. A slice of this huge topic was the focus of his first presidential address, which is entitled Mineral Surfaces and the Prebiotic Selection and Organization of Biomolecules. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Rachel. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Starting to get the hang of these podcasts, maybe.
Sounds like fun.
So, Bob, how did a card-carrying mineralogist get mixed up with this messy, complex topic of the origin of life?
Boy, the origin of life is such a fascinating question. And I think really what most scientists want to do, why they get involved in what they get involved in, is they're curious. We're still little kids and we have all that curiosity. And one of the biggest questions in my mind is where did we come from? How did life arise? So I said, gee, is there something a person trained in mineralogy can do to help answer that question? And indeed, yes, there are some really unique contributions that we can make in the mineralogical community. So I was really excited to kind of get on board and start working on this field.
That's fascinating. That's the joy of science. Can you give me a one-minute summary of your paper?
Sure. What I try to do in this paper is, first of all, provide an overview of kind of a framework for how you might tackle the question, and that's through a field called emergence, the emergence of complexity. You think about the origin of life, you have only water, that's the oceans and the atmosphere and rocks to work with, and you've got to mix those together and somehow come up from geochemistry all the way up to biochemistry. Well, the field of emergence sort of explains how that might happen, and I tell about that in the paper. And then I look at some specific examples of emergence where minerals come in. And in particular, I'm interested, you know, you make all these simple molecules on the early Earth. Somehow you have to bring them together, concentrate them, and form the basic structures of life, the membranes of life, the kinds of information-carrying molecules. So that's what I try to do in the papers, describe how that might have happened.
So what do you think that everyone, a scientist, a layperson, should know about this?
Well, from the point of view of a mineralogist, what I think is really fascinating is how critical minerals were to the origin of life. Minerals provide these wonderful energy-rich surfaces. And just think about it, any rock, any sand that you might have or soil, there's just tons and tons of mineral surfaces which can attract molecules, they can concentrate molecules, they can organize those molecules into structures. And so this has to be a key step in life's origin. The early Earth was just, you know, there's this vast amount of mineral surface, and that's where the action took place.
Where do you think, where is your future research going, or where is the future research in general going?
Boy, the research that I'm really excited about have just gotten a big boost because we've gotten some funding from the National Science Foundation and NASA to study the details of how molecules interact with minerals, that is, the organic molecules. Think about the, you know, when you eat cereal in the morning, you look at the side of the cereal box, there's this little nutrition chart, and it says you're eating carbohydrates, you're eating, which are like sugars, you're eating proteins, which include molecules called amino acids, you're eating fats, which include molecules called lipids. Those are the building blocks of life. And what we're interested in is how do those molecules, the amino acids, the sugars, and the lipids interact with mineral surfaces as they might have done on the early Earth, because that's how you start concentrating and organizing these molecules. Well, NSF and NASA thought that these were exciting questions, and they've just funded our research, and so we're getting new people to come in, some students, some young people who would are really going to contribute to our project, and we've got a whole team of people, and we're tackling these ideas, taking minerals and molecules and looking at that interface.
But that's really interesting.
Yeah, we're having so much fun with this. It's it's an exciting time in science, and there are always these incredible new questions to ask and new techniques to apply and new young people to come along with ideas. You know, with those of us who have been in the field for a long time really can't see all the possibilities, but when young people come along, they have a new perspective, new vision, and they're not limited by the perceptions of what can and can't be done. So, so it really is a very exciting time that way, too. Lots of young people are coming into this field studying the origin of life and particularly how rocks and minerals played a role.
Well, I think what everyone is wondering is, have you gotten into arguments or trouble with the intelligent design folks? Has there been any appropriate stories you can share?
Well, of course, yes. This is actually quite a challenge to people in the field of intelligent design. The people who advocate the position of intelligent design argue that life is much, much too complex. It's much too intricate to have arisen naturally. In fact, they call it irreducibly complex. They argue that any system in nature that is irreducibly complex must therefore have been engineered or designed as opposed to evolved through a natural evolutionary process. And this is really a philosophical argument about how we know what we know. In science, we say, let's look for the general principles. Let's take the assumption that the natural world is capable of doing all sorts of things, including show the emergence of complexity in a variety of ways. And so we look for a natural process. In intelligent design, you throw up your hands and say, oh, it's just so complex, we can't imagine anything could possibly happen. And so we'll say, just say God does it, and that, then we don't have to think about it anymore. Well, the odd thing is science cannot disprove the role of God.
Right.
There's no way that I can prove that God didn't create life. However, what I do as a scientist is that would be neglecting my responsibility. What I have to say is, but is there a natural process by which God could have done it? A purely lawful process of chemistry and physics where you go from simplicity to complexity. We see this happening around us all the time. It's this field of emergent complexity. And minerals help. As soon as you have an energetic surface where you can organize things, you go from simplicity to complexity. And so that's what we're arguing. You don't have to resort to intervention from an intelligent engineer or God. Basically, you can say there's a natural process. And to me, that's much more exciting. If you know, if you believe in a universe in which there's a creator, then isn't the best thing to do to study creation? Look at the natural world itself and understand how it works. I mean, that's the way you get to know the creator, if that's what you believe in. And for scientists, I think this is a very spiritual pursuit, the idea of trying to understand how natural laws lead from the simplicity of a lifeless world to the complexity of what we see today. That's a profound thing. And indeed, if we can show that the entire universe is somehow, you know, hardwired to produce life, isn't that a very profound discovery? Life springs up everywhere there's an Earth-like planet, and it's a natural process that does this inexorably. To me, that's a profoundly wonderful discovery, and it says a huge amount about the universe, which, you know, if you want to believe that the universe has meaning and purpose, what better way is there for a universe that's hardwired to produce life everywhere?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much for joining us on the show today.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's always a pleasure, and best of luck with your series.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. American Mineralogist publishes earth science research articles from mineralogy, geology, crystallography, and many, many other facets of earth and planetary science. American Mineralogist is published by the Mineralogical Society of America, a nonprofit publisher. MSA welcomes tax-deductible donations for the journal, this podcast, or the many programs of the society. MN articles can be found in Geoscience World, AMMIN.GEOSCIENCE.ORG, or the MSA website. For more information about MSA, check out www.minsocam.org. Check back with each new issue to see if there are new podcasts.